Welcome to Tori Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yecheskel Perek Membet, Chapter 42. Perek Membet is the last perek of the tour that Yecheskel takes of the third Beit HaMikdash. While in the last perek, he was inside the Heichal, the inner space, and went up to the Kodesh HaKadashim, right up to the most special place of the Beit HaMikdash, now Yecheskel leaves the building and goes to the inner courtyard, the Chatzar HaChitzona. Now on this tour, the man shows him a number of chambers called Lishkot. Two Lishkot are on the north side of the courtyard and two are on the south side of the courtyard. The tour of the Chatzar, the courtyard, and the measuring of the Lishkot in the corners of the courtyard comes along with a number of details that give the Mefarshim pause. One such example comes in Pasuk 3. Says the Pasuk, Neged ha'asrim asher l'chatzer ha'pnimi v'neged ritzpa asher l'chatzer ha'chitzona atik al pnei atik bashloshim. Over against the 20 cubits which belong to the inner court and over against the pavement which belonged to the outer court was gallery against gallery in the third story, atik al pnei atik bashloshim. Now this idea of this atik al pnei atik is just a very unusual word in Tanakh, and Rashi explains on the words neged ritzpa asher l'chatzer ha'chitzona, opposite this balcony of the outer court, Rashi says she'amarnu lamala she'aliyah hayta ha'chatzer mukfas avivla, that we remember, says Rashi, we spoke about that there was a balcony around this outer courtyard. But then on the words atik al pnei atik, the first translation I used said a gallery against a gallery, but Rashi translates it a pillar against a pillar, and his commentary says, Lo yadati mahu, I don't know what this is. And you hear the humility of Rashi, that he didn't have to comment on it to tell you that he doesn't know what it is. He could have just left it out, but that's what Rashi does, meaning he sees these words and he doesn't understand what they're describing. He does the same thing again to Psukim later, when the Pasuk speaks about Halishkot Ha'elyonot, these like uppermost Lishkot, these uppermost chambers, Kimishula Shot Hena, they were somehow tripled or three-storied. Rashi says again, Lo Havanti Bahem Klal, I don't understand these at all. The reader gets a sense of the meticulous detail of this outer courtyard and the building as a whole that the Malach is showing Yecheskel. And there's a certain concrete nature of the measurements of each part. And yet, like is often actually the experience of reading Sefer Yecheskel, there just seems to be elements of this Sefer, of this vision, that are beyond our grasp. And as the Abayar Benel explained back in Perek Mem, chapter 40, will only be understood in the time of Eliyahu Hanavi. And maybe the Abayar Benel mentions Eliyahu Hanavi because that will be the time. It's not just that Eliyahu is going to clear up the measurements, but also these measurements, the way it looks, this actual vision of the Beit HaMikdash will be part of our reality with the building of the third Beit HaMikdash, the time period that's ushered in by Eliyahu Hanavi. So we have this tour, and it's very clear and very unclear at the same time. And the Rambam already pointed out that this was a building that the people of Bayit Sheni were not able to build. And they continue on their tour in this perek, and this measuring man, who is overall very quiet, as he measures and he shows and he measures and he shows, and suddenly in Pasuk Yud Gimel, in verse 13, he speaks. V'yomer Eli, and he says to me, Lishkot ha-tzafon v'lishkot ha-darom asher al pnei ha-gizra, heina lishkot ha-kodesh asher yochluch sham ha-kohanim asher krovim la-Hashem kodshei kedashim, sham yanichu kodshei ha-kedashim v'hamincha v'chata v'ha-asham ki ha-makom kadosh. The man explains what these lishkot of the north are for. And he says these north chambers and also these Lishkot HaDarom, these south chambers, are before the ones that are before, he says, the separate place, they are the holy chambers where the priests, the ones who are close to Hashem, shall eat the most holy things. There they shall lay the most holy things and they will eat the mincha, the chatat, and the asham. These three different types of korbanot that are considered higher level holiness. And he concludes and says, Ki hamakom kadosh, because this place is holy. So he explains to Yechezkel what's the purpose of these chambers, of these four chambers that he's describing, one in each corner of the outer courtyard. The inner courtyard. And then he explains that there's actually another part of these lishkot. And he says, in Pasuk Yudalit, Bevo am ha-kohanim, when the kohanim come, lo yetzu me'akodesh el ha-chatzer ha-chitzona, they shouldn't go out of the holy place into the outer court. V'sham yanichu bigdehem asher yishartu behem, ki kodesh heina. That there's this in-between chamber from where the Kohanim do this avodah, this service, before they go out into the outer courtyard, and that is where they are going to change their clothes. And they're going to take off the clothes that they used to serve Hashem in, do the ritual, v'lavshu begadim achirim, and they're going to wear other clothes, v'karvo el asher la'am, and that, with those other clothes, meaning in their more everyday clothes, that's how they are going to approach the people. After this short speech, the pasuk tells us that the man finished measuring the inner space of the Beit HaMikdash, v'kila et midot habayit ha'pnimi, in pasuk tevav, and then he turns to show Yechezkel the outer space, almost the footprint of the Beit HaMikdash, and he measures it 500 measuring rods by 500 measuring rods, which Rashi calculates is about 3,000 meters by 3,000 meters, and that is a space that is larger than the entirety of Har HaBayit today, and 36 times the size of Bayit Sheni. So just to give a sense of how massive this Beit HaMikdash that Yechezkel is describing is. And the parak ends by describing a wall that will surround this whole space and will surround Har HaBayit. And it says in Pasuk Kaf, La'arba, verse 20, La'arba ruchot midado choma lo saviv saviv. He measured it on four sides. It had a wall around its length, 500 around and around. Orech chameshmeot, berochav chameshmeot. Its length was 500, and its width was 500. L'havdil ben hakodesh l'chol. And that would make a separation between that which was holy and that which was common, chol, mundane, profane. The purpose of this wall was to divide between the kodesh and the chol. This fits with Yechezkel's description of the Beit HaMikdash on the top of a very large mountain, probably much larger than the Har HaBayit as we know it, because we know that this idea would just not fit on Har HaBayit as we know it. And if you remember, Yechezkel said when he was placed on this top of this mountain, he saw the city towards the south. The city was further down the mountain. The Beit HaMikdash of the future will not be set inside the king's administration as it was in the time of Shlomo, when the Beit HaMikdash was part of the palace complex. No. Instead, it will be huge and it will be separate from the city. The city will be further down the mountain. It will be further south, and there will be a tall wall marking the separation of the Beit HaMikdash and the city. This theme of separation is really pervasive in this entire parak, because this idea of the demarcation between holy and mundane is also present in the short speech that the man says to Yechezkel, the man who almost never speaks. If you remember, he describes the chamber of the Kohanim as Heina lishkot ha-kodesh asher yochlu sham ha-kohanim asher krovim la-shem kodshei ha-kodashim sham yanichu kodshei ha-kodashim v'amincha v'chatat v'asham ki ha-makom kodesh. This is just an excerpt from verse 13, that these are these holy chambers where the Kohanim are going to eat the special korbanot, the chatat, the mincha, and the ashan, and this is a holy place. Just notice that the word kodesh comes up in this pasuk 6 times, emphasizing not only the holy nature of this chamber, but the holy nature of the kohanim themselves and the holy nature of their work. Additionally, the man described the second chamber that was adjacent to it as having a very particular purpose. This is again from verse 14, Bevo am hakonim lo yitzu me'akodesh el hachatzer chitzona v'sham yanichu bigdeihem asher yishtu behem ki kodesh hema v'lavshu begadim acharim v'karvu al asher la'am. They should not go out to the people wearing their clothes that they wore to do the ritual, ki kodesh hema, because they are holy. Very similar to what he said in the last phrase, ki hamakom kadosh. This place is holy. The chamber of the Kohanim parallels the overall structure of Har HaBayit, that there was a separation between the holy and the mundane. Rav Benny Lau explains that unlike in the Mishkan and in Bayit Rishon, the first Beit HaMikdash, where people were allowed, and in the second Beit HaMikdash also, but that was after Yechezkel's time, where people were allowed and even encouraged to participate in the korbanot rituals, Adam ki yakriv, it says in Vayikra, a person brings his own korban. The korbanot realm here in Yechezkel's Beit HaMikdash is totally the domain of the Kohanim. They were not to be seen amongst the people in their clothes that they used to do the avoda. Instead, they had special changing rooms and would only go amongst the people in their regular clothes. And Rav Tzvi alone points out that this changing of the clothes parallels the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, who also changes his clothes after the avoda before he goes out to the nation. It's almost like Yechezkel's Beit HaMikdash operates all the time, the way the regular Beit HaMikdash operated on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year. There are certain elements of it. And this notion of changing of the clothes in a special chamber fits with Yechezkel's vision for this third Beit HaMikdash as a different place than the Beit HaMikdash as we know it, or even the Mishkan. We already noticed a lack of gold and other precious metals in Yechezkel's vision, perhaps signifying a separation from material goods and a disappointment with the corruption that ultimately found its way into the religious ritual. Now Yechezkel envisions the Kohanim, the symbol of the one who walks the line between Kodesh and Chol, one who bridges the gap between God and man. But he envisions them maintaining a separation between their two worlds, not necessarily bringing those two worlds together. The world of the ritual of the Kodesh happens inside the Beit HaMikdash, separate from the people. And the people don't even see the Kohanim wearing their ritual clothes, almost like it was on Yom Kippur. On the other hand, when the Kohen leaves the Lichga, this special chamber, he goes out to the people as one of them, as a teacher, but not as one who promotes ritual. He almost separates those two roles into two separate parts. His teacher persona, he is regular, like them. He's teaching them, he's working with them, but his ritual one is separate, and that he does in the Kodesh. And this may be, as Rabbi Gamliel Shmala pointed out to me, because Yechezkel was fundamentally disappointed in the Kohanim of his time. If you remember from Parak 22, among the leaders that Yechezkel criticizes are the Kohanim. This is from Parak Kafbet, Pasuk Kavav, verse 26. And Yechezkel says there, Kohanel chamsu torati, v'ichalulu kadshi, ben kodesh l'chol lo hivdilu. See if you could just hear the themes that Yechezkel spoke about there in chapter 22 and how they have ramifications here in his Beit HaMikdash. There he said, her priest has done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. They've made no distinction between the Kodesh and the Chol, meaning they did the exact things that Yechezkel is trying to prevent. The pasuk goes on, neither have they caused men to discern between the unclean and the clean. That's their whole job, is to decide what's tamei and what's tahor. But they didn't. Lo hivdilu, not only lo hivdilu, that not only did they not separate between kodesh and chol, but lo hodiyu, they didn't teach people. So people are thinking that things that are tamei are tahor, and they're going with that. And the Kohanim who know are not telling them. They're not telling them not to. And also, they hid their eyes from people who are desecrating the Shabbos. They are lacking and abdicating responsibility in their job as teachers. And then he finishes up, I am profaned amongst them. I, Hashem, am becoming whole. The thing that Yechezkel criticizes about the Kohanim is their lack of distinction between Kodesh and Chol, their lack of respect for boundaries and for borders, and giving up on their job of rebuking the people for their bad behavior. Instead of bringing a bridge between Kodesh and Chol and teaching people to elevate the Chol and recognize the Kodesh, the Kohanim abdicate their responsibility and blur the boundaries between them, giving tacit approval to anything that the people did, averting their eyes from sin, especially that of Chilal Shabbos, so they don't have to rebuke the people. Yechezkel's vision has a much stronger demarcation between the Mikdash, that is holy, and the city, which is Chol, regular. Going to the Mikdash requires an act of climbing the mountain. The wall that separates the Mikdash preserves the boundaries of the holy and serves as a reminder to aspire to that holiness. The Kohanim must see themselves as separate, as part of the process of the Mikdash, and the people must also see themselves separate from them. In this way, the Kohanim will be able to teach the people, to rebuke the people, to maintain this concept of there is a difference between that which is tameh, that and that which is tahor, that which is pure and that which is impure, that which is kodesh and that which is whole. The Kohanim of Yechezkel's time lost this distinction. The Mikdash that Yechezkel envisions puts the distinction back in place. In this Mikdash, the lines will not be blurred. Everything is measured out, and everything has its place. Thank you for learning together, Le'ilo Nishmas Barbara Atlas Bracha Bas Abraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.